This is Sunday's Supplement, the podcast pullout that flops to the floor the moment you open your newspaper. Each week, we get our fingers inky so you don't have to. We put two of Britain's Sunday newspapers head-to-head to see which is the best supplement. So, pull out your papers, liberate your supplements from their wrappers, and find out which paper you should have bought last Sunday. Hello and welcome to episode 1, 2, 3 of Sunday Supplement.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, that's a huge number.
That's like 12 million.
One of my favourite times of day is 12:34 because the clock says 1, 2, 3, 4. Right. And if I remember or if I'm awake, I do a little dance.
What about on the 24-hour clock when it's quarter to midnight?
That would be 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah.
You're missing the one there. That's just disappointing.
Well, I am mostly disappointing.
You see, what you really want is 12:34:56. Then you can have a little orgasm.
Only a little one.
Only a little one. You can't have a big one. It only lasts a second.
True, I suppose. I learned a valuable lesson over Christmas.
Is it that you shouldn't try?
Well, I learned that years ago. But I learned, you know that white powder that you get on jelly babies?
Oh, right, that white powder on jelly babies. Not that white powder you get all over rich bankers from London.
Or the stuff that fell out the sky and covered the country.
Yeah, that was bad, that white powder. That's gone now.
It's gone.
There's hardly any left.
The rich bankers snorted it all.
Yeah.
Satire. It's where you come for it. No, anyway, the powder that you get on jelly babies, right?
Yeah.
The flour, essentially. It's not flour.
It's not flour.
It's not sugar either. This is what I learnt, right?
What?
It's not sugar.
Oh, it was icing sugar.
No. It is talcum powder.
It's not talcum powder.
Which explains why none of the babies are wearing nappies.
No.
They've all been captured mid-change.
Powder. It doesn't taste of my granny. A jelly baby doesn't taste of my granny. My granny's the only one who ever asked for talcum powder for Christmas, so that's my only real experience. Although, when you use talcum powder, have you ever used talcum powder, Simon?
Only when I was little.
It's amazing, because occasionally, say you're in a hotel somewhere, and they've got talcum powder, weirdly, like, oh, okay, so you're somewhere foreign, and they go, oh, here's talcum powder. You can put that, and it dries everything. Or else it sort of bakes to you and makes a dough.
Well, this is all very well. Did you get a newspaper?
Of course I got a newspaper.
Can I guess what it was?
You know what it was, because you already guessed and I said yes. So I'm ruining the whole idea that we only speak to each other once a podcast, when actually we do quite regularly. And you went, oh, what paper did you get? What paper did you get? And I said The Observer. And you went, oh, I knew you could get that.
That is not at all how I recollect that particular debate, but there we go. I got the Mail on Sunday.
I know you did, you told me. What are you telling me for?
If my colleague hasn't got a gob full of Maltesers, we'll play
like
cut
Maltesers.
Out and keep.
Maltesers are brilliant to eat, because what you do is either you bite them in half and then suction the biscuit onto your tongue and then let the chocolate melt on top of it, just collapsing it like a really weirdly upside down bubble wrap effect. Or you just nibble all the chocolate off and then just have a little biscuit ball. Just a biscuit ball. Trouble with that though, just get stuck in your teeth. Or you can just crunch it. Just crunch it.
What I dislike about Maltesers is the way that 1 in 4 is really hard and you bite into it and your teeth explode.
No, you're wrong about the 1 in 4 thing. You shouldn't leave your Maltesers hanging around getting ideas off the boiled sweets. That's what you've done. What they've done is they've cross-influenced each other. A bit like when you put bananas in your fruit bowl and everything gets really ripe and tastes of banana. Whatever you do, don't leave your Maltesers near any hard sweets because they're very easily influenced.
The meaning of the universe. It's all in the punchline, according to Ben Miller. And he's got a column about how science is exactly like stand-up comedy.
What?
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah.
Oh, let me guess. It's because you experiment with jokes and see which one best fits the average audience, and then it works because you know it works because you get a reaction. So your hypothesis is this is funny. You try it out a few times. You tweak the joke here and there, and then it's funny, and therefore that's science.
Yeah, that's what he's saying, talking about a scientific
God
method.
Stink.
No, shut up. You'd have done this one if you'd had it.
Peer-reviewed journals, right? That's like saying that reviews are right about comedians.
No, because they're not peer-reviewed.
Exactly. There are no peer-reviewed journals, so how does science go forward?
No, because a peer-reviewed...
There's no Nobel Peace Prize for fart jokes.
I thought it was really good. He was talking about how the second law of thermodynamics is very similar in concept to comedians.
Hang on. What's the second law? The first law is heat won't pass through the cooler to the hotter. You can try it if you like, but you're much better not for the colder.
Second one tells us that everything in the universe is slowly collapsing into disorder.
Okay.
So a building can only collapse. It cannot restructure itself without our help. It's this disorder that good comedians play on, and the best ones even help us to enjoy it.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. So there. He also talks about how the best scientific writing and the best comedy writing is understatement.
What do you mean by best science writing, though?
Does he just mean popular science? No, he doesn't go into that, does he? But he then does go, also like comics, scientists rise and fall on their original material. Both disciplines operate on an open stage and fakery is quickly outed. Nullius in verba. Take nobody's word for it, as they say at the Royal Society. Both disciplines are trying to discover a truth, and then he talks about the scientific method, and that's how you write jokes.
And money buggers everything up.
Does money bugger up science?
Yeah.
Really?
It really buggers things up, because, like, well, to use the example of drug companies, buy people's signatures to put on reports that they have fabricated, might not have fabricated, but who's going to know?
That's one bad side effect of money, but surely throwing money at good research isn't a bad thing.
Yeah, but as long as you can follow it. I mean, throwing money at a good comedian is a bad thing. It's when the comedians who are average get thrown money at on a really bad TV show and everybody looking goes, oh, stand-up comedy is not very funny, is it?
Anyway, Ben Miller presents Horizon, What is One Degree, on tomorrow night. But that'll have been on.
Oh, I see. So it's
just
an advert for a TV show, which will probably have more in it than the blooming article. You're rubbish.
He's got a regular column in the mail,
I think.
Regular column. Well, what have you got? Some comedian talking crap, I suspect.
Yeah, David Mitchell. I've actually, there was a lot to pick from in this week's Observer, but I've got David Mitchell, who's way better than Ben Miller. For one, he's better looking.
No, he's not. David Mitchell is not better looking than Ben Miller.
He is. Ben Miller's got one of those faces that looks like it's been pulled by the chin, made of taffy, and it's just been pulled. He's got the Rob Brydon face.
David Mitchell looks like he's trapped between something squashing him. That's a good metaphor. I'm really pleased with
that. Well, no, he looks a bit like an owl made human in a witch's spell, doesn't he? Well,
what's he talking about? Is he talking about physics?
No, he's talking about gap year travel and how there's going to be no gap year students. And then
good.
He talks about his gap year.
I hate
gap years. Well, no, you say good, but who are the Italians going to have sex with if there are no au pairs to go over?
Is that the only people Italians have sex with? British au pairs?
No. But it is the majority of middle-aged male sex. When you're in your 40s, Simon, the only time you're going to see any tail is when the au pair's over. Looking after the kids.
I won't have any kids or an au pair.
You can still get an au pair. Just pretend you have kids. Just dress your shoes up and say, can you look after these? They're children. English children are very ugly.
Anyway, what is good about a gap year? Nothing. The end.
Basically, that's what he says, but he's funnier than you.
Article or farcical?
This is a game.
Is it?
Well, you sort of say it's a game. I think it's more of a sort of test of humanity. Where I read out three articles that I found in the Sunday supplement of my paper. This week it's The Observer. It's a very good paper. It's going to beat Simon's. Hmm.
You don't even remember what I got.
You got the Daily Fail.
No, I didn't. I got the Mail on Sunday.
Daily Fail on Sunday.
No, you can't have a daily Sunday paper, can you?
You can.
Apart from the Daily Sunday Sport.
That's true, you can. And also... your mum. So, I've got three articles I've made up. One of them... No, three articles I haven't made up. Simon, you're confusing me. Shut up, right? Shush. Oh, I didn't do anything, is he? I know, you know you did. You spoke. You spoke. Stop looking like a baby. I don't look like a baby. I look more like a monk.
Why am I from London?
Okay, I'm sorry. No, I don't look like a... I don't look like a policeman. I didn't say you look like a policeman. Are you going to look like a policeman? That's you. Anyway, so
that's not even an accent.
What?
That's not even an accent.
It is an accent. It's an accent.
Do you concede it's an accent?
No, it's not an action.
Right, because I'd have won.
Anyway, okay. So basically, three articles.
Oh, just get on with it.
They got one made up. I made one up. Can Simon and you guess which one I made up? Number one, Golden Goose.
See, this really wasn't worth the build-up, was it?
Shut up!
Number two?
Golden Goose. Well, do you want to know what Golden Goose is about?
No, I really don't. God, what's it about?
Ryan Gosling.
Who's that?
It's an actor that apparently is good. Number two, Horse and Miscarriage.
That sounds really...
It's not. It's a miscarriage of justice, not an actual miscarriage.
About a horse?
Yes. It's about ownership and buying and selling horses and how it's very difficult because people buy horses, but they don't actually buy horses. They buy the rights to horses or some sort of crap. I don't understand.
Okay.
Number three, Caught in the Net, but Caught spelled C-O-U-R-T.
Right. Is that about tennis?
No, it's about the Innocence Project, which helps free wrongly imprisoned prisoners.
I know all about the Innocence Project because I had to do some research for it for a script.
And I know about the Innocence Project because I drink the smoothies. Number four, finally, is this an article or is this a farcical? Warmed to the Core.
And that's about hot apples?
Yeah, exactly that. It's about like hot apples that you put on a tray and put in your oven and go nom 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 nom. Ooh, gooey, hot, goodness sweet.
Oh, that would hurt. That would hurt your mouth.
I think you let them cool a little bit. Ooh. It's warmed to the core, not piping boiling lava to the core. Because you don't need to do that. Like in the earth, there's always a lot of lava.
Just stop talking. They're all rubbish. None of them stand out as something you would have made up. So, well, the Innocence Project I know is true and I wouldn't... Not sure you would have heard of it before.
Yeah, because I never read any books, Simon. I'm an idiot. But you're right, I hadn't heard of it.
Sharp. So I'm going to go with Golden Goose.
Golden Goose?
Golden Goose is the one that you have miraculously made up.
Do you believe him, readers? Do you agree with Simon? Have you ever agreed with Simon about anything? Oh, do you think that's really unfair? Oh, shut up, Simon. You can go away because you're wrong. Ha! Oh no, I'm wrong. I don't believe it. I don't know. Ooh. Yeah, you're wrong, Simon. Izzy wins once again because Golden Goose, that's of course about Ryan Gosling, who I've never heard of either. Shut up. And after that, I was caught in the net. That was real because I hadn't heard of the Innocent Project. I know I'm so well read and I research stuff for my writing and I'm like so clever. I know you are, Simon, but you're not clever this time because you probably would have even chosen Warm to the Core. Yeah, Izzy, because you can only make up stuff about stupid apples and that, and apples, like, and you've got an Apple computer because you're rubbish. Yeah, I might be rubbish, Simon, but you got that one wrong too because the one I made up, Horse and Miscarriage, which when I wrote it really made me laugh and then I thought that's a bit wrong, I better make it about miscarriages of justice very quickly. I mean, I know the Observer's posh, but what sort of idiot would think they'd just write about buying horses? This sort of idiot? Yeah, exactly. Simon's a sort of idiot. He wins.
Except you did two accents, therefore.
Oh, you did not do an accent. This is how you sound. If this is an accent, then you, sir, are always doing an accent, and therefore I win.
If Izzy has stopped doing stupid and rubbish accents, we'll move on.
It was an impression, Simon. It wasn't an accent.
Except it doesn't sound anything like me.
It sounds better than you.
Therefore, it's not an impression, is it? It's an improvement.
It's an improvement, but I can't help improving whatever you do. It's just impossible to do as badly as anything than you.
Right. Have you got a letter?
I do have a letter. It's from our email section. It's actually sent before Christmas, this one. So it actually says, Dear Sunday Supplement, Merry Christmas.
Aww.
Which is really nice. And it's from Sam, who too was stuck in the snow. But more weirdly, my iPod got stuck on your podcast. And for an entire train journey, I had nothing to listen to but episode 119 over and over and over again. I hate you. Merry Christmas, Sam.
Welcome to my life, Sam. All I hear is Izzy in my ear over and over again.
Which is better than your accent.
See, I knew you were going to do an accent, and you just admitted it was an accent.
No, but I'm just saying.
No, but.
You sound like that.
I do not.
Little country bumpkin.
Dear Izzy.
Hello.
Where the hell have you been?
What?
It's been ages since you did a new podcast, and I, for one, am very cross indeed. All the best, Simon Dunn.
What, really? Really? You wrote an email. What do you mean, where the hell have I been? I wanted to do one last week. You said, and you were like, no, it's New Year, so I've got to go get drunk and, like, pull women and go around in my fast car.
Except all three of those things are inaccurate. I don't drink.
Yeah.
I was alone on New Year's Eve. And I had to scrap my car. So yeah. I don't even have wheels.
Oh, I've got new ride ban. That's what Simon says.
You really need to stop doing that.
Okay.
If you want to write to us, it's sundaypodcast@hotmail.com.
Please do.
No. Let's get our random on.
Yeah.
That doesn't even make any sense. It's the randomizer, Skyzer.
Yeah.
You can choose between you, supplement of the year, or live or live. We're not sure which it is, but we do know which it is, but we can't remember which it is because
we'll go with you this time because we always go with live or live because we don't know which it is and we do know which it is because we were told. But anyway, every time we write it out, we do that just to make that joke and it seems pointless and a waste of time.
Between 1 and 74.
Oh, wow. I'll go with 17.
17 hours to Tulsa.
That was an accent. Just so, if any gods are listening, minus point there for some done.
This is an article about corsets and underwear.
Oh, hello.
None of them particularly sexy because they've airbrushed out the women that are wearing them. So
right.
It is literally just underwear on the invisible man or woman, I suppose, in this case.
Well, it could be the invisible man.
I know, exactly. I just don't know.
I think that's quite sexy, though. It's a bit like, have you ever made love with the lights off?
You think having sex with the invisible man would be sexy?
Yeah.
Okay. Is it me or are pants getting bigger?
Are pants getting bigger? What, women's pants?
Yeah, there's a pair of pants here that's bigger than my house.
Well, that's not difficult. Once again.
Yes, I'm a hamster. I live in a small cage. Get on with it. What can I choose?
New Review or the Observer magazine. I suppose the Observer magazine's kind of like the floppy outy bit of the page.
All right, well, let's go with that then.
All right, so you got from page 1 to roughly 56. I can't tell exactly because they don't number the pages.
Right, well, let's go with page 24.
The Court of Last Resort. In the US, the Innocence Project has freed 260 people in prison for crimes they did not commit. And inspired a new film starring Hilary Swank.
It was also a Paul Abbott TV show that flopped called The Innocence Project. Quite interesting. They used DNA evidence to get people off of crimes that they were committed of. What?
Yeah.
Were committed of. Convicted of, I believe, is the phrase. But yeah, there's quite a few people also in the world that falsely confess to crimes. Like, there's a man in Sweden who confessed to being a serial killer. And he confessed to something like 17 murders and got put in prison. And about 10 years later, he went, oh, actually, I didn't actually do it. And they had a look at all his confessions and stuff and realised that he probably didn't do it.
That's really weird.
It is.
Why did he confess?
That is a really interesting question that we haven't really got time to go into.
Simon doesn't know.
It's all about confabulation and whatnot. You saw that TV programme about how they have to very carefully monitor and structure police interviews now.
Yeah, I did.
Because of these sorts of cases.
Yeah, because people's memories are crap. By the way, anything you think you can remember, you can't properly, you're an idiot. Basically, is what I learned from that. There's a really interesting study that someone did, and if this were a proper skeptic podcast, I'd be able to tell you. But what they did was they got people on 9/11, an hour after 9/11 happened, or like 6 hours after 9/11 happened, give a report, write down what they saw that day and where they were when the Twin Towers were hit. Then the next day, they got them to do it again. Then in 6 months, they got them to do it again. And then a year, they got them to do it again. And every single statement was almost completely different for everyone.
Good. It's interesting. Look up the Innocence Project. It is really worth looking into. So, okay, you win that one.
Hey, Izzy wins. Izzy beats a corset.
It's time to flop out the old humdongers. And I'm not using an old humdonger for once. It's the Mail on Sunday, and I'm not putting out cottage. There is no Piers
really?
Morgan. Well, he's in there.
Oh, he's in there.
But he's not the worst thing.
Well, last time you did the fail, Piers Morgan was your cut out and keep. So obviously he's turning you.
He's getting better, obviously, isn't he?
He's not getting better, Simon. You're just getting worse. You actually quite like him. You want to be him.
I actually read a column about fashion this week.
What?
Exactly. I'm really pleased I did too. I'm not going to say who wrote it because I'm going to be mean about her in a minute. But She's talking about how fashion surveys are pointless, but then goes into fashion surveys in too much detail. The latest revelations include the fact that our wardrobes contain 12 items of clothing that do not fit. Isn't that exciting?
Well, don't fit you. You're tiny. Nothing fits you.
She's talking about how fit is a nebulous concept. She's talking about sometimes they do fit, sometimes they don't fit. She's talking about how her fat clothes are like butter or something.
What?
She sees her fat clothes and it reminds her of fudge cake and buttered crumpets. The trouble is, she's stick thin. Like, painfully stick thin. I do not believe she has fat clothes.
I think with very thin people, they're more likely to have fat clothes than, like, people... Like, when I was a bit bigger than I am now, and I wasn't fat, but I was, like, size 14, I had size 14 clothes. But those size 14 clothes, they kind of accommodated me so I could go down to size 12 but still wear a size 14.
So you're saying if you're stick thin and you put on weight, that is a drastic
difference. You
notice it
immediately. Yeah. If you put on a pound and you're a size 8, that's going to push you to a size 10. But if you put on a couple of pounds and you're size 12, you stay a size 12.
I see. Can you see why I did this as my humdonger?
I can. I mean, it's tedious. Don't get me wrong.
That's what I'm saying. It's tedious.
Not as tedious as mine. Which is called Who's Who's 8 people, 4 couples, can you match them? It's like a weird little contest next to Mary Le Frostrup doing actually a very good column about relationships and then giving advice to people, which is actually good. But yeah, and they have literally just a picture of the person and something about them. So like, you've got to guess who Amy's boyfriend is.
And they're not even famous people.
No. Amy's 21 and an airport check-in assistant, and she likes Yorkshire pudding and West Ham, right? Her boyfriend turns out to be Chris, who's a firefighter, and he likes rugby, gambling and going to the pub. Now, how are you meant to... I mean, how?
Do they look alike?
No. She's blonde, he's dark-haired. I mean, they both look like c***s, but just because... I mean, they don't look like c***s. I'm just angry about this game. Okay, so see if you can guess. I'll give an option of 2 people who Sammy Joe goes out with.
Okay, what do we know about Sammy Joe?
Sammy Joe is 21. She's a student and a dance teacher. She likes dancing, serving cocktails and days out.
Right.
Now, does she go out with A, Aaron, 21, a student and barman who likes R&B music and Superbad, or B, George, 24, who works in recruitment and likes Faith No More, and he is obsessed by his Xbox.
First one.
Yeah, you're right. But sharp! That's not the point!
It's time to decide then who has the superior supplements this week.
Me.
Who are you?
I'm Izzy. Hello? No, you're Simon. Oh no, I've lost again.
Well, I'm going to stand my ground. I think I had quite, for the male especially, had quite a good entry this week. Ben Miller.
Sorry, you just said good entry. I'm like 5 years old. But yeah,
Not even five.
Don't get me wrong, which makes my win all the better, because I still beat you even with a good male.
I don't know if you did. I really don't. I think it's a draw, if anything.
It's not a draw.
Because you say so, I suppose.
No, not because I say so. It's because, you know, I've got the better articles. I got a column by Nick Cohen, which was a bit too depressing that I couldn't go into. I got a column about Sonia Burgess, who's also David Burgess.
Which is also too depressing to go into.
Which is also too depressing to go into, but it's
so
really interesting.
So you've got a really depressing paper.
It's not depressing, it's...
You just said it was all depressing. I've got my happy divorce.
I can't go on about human rights lawyers while you go, oh, it's a goose in a corset.
All right, fine, whatever. If you want to go out, invent a time machine, go back to last Sunday and buy Izzy's paper, then do so.
And also, you don't need to go out to invent a time machine. Some of the things in your house might help you make a time machine, if you made a
time
machine.
Name one thing in your house that will help you make a time machine.
Battery.
You want a battery-powered time machine?
No, but you need an alarm clock.
Why?
Because you need to know, you need to set an alarm.
You need a DeLorean, a flux capacitor, some sort of device from the future, like a blender, and you need Doc Brown, which, admittedly, we've got someone who looks a bit like Doc Brown.
Hello, Marty.
Yeah, anyway, buy a paper, doesn't matter which one.
Yeah, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah.
When this baby reaches 88 miles an hour, you're going to see some serious shit.
Now, when you first saw that, did you see it on the telly?
I did. I didn't know he saw. Then I got the DVD and he said, serious shit. And I spilt my fidge everywhere. Fidge is a milkshake. I literally, it came out my nose. I was so happy. He said shit.
Okay. If you'll write to us at sundaypodcast@hotmail.com, you can visit our website at sundaysupplement.com, or you can join our group on Facebook. You can even leave us a review on iTunes.
And if you're listening on iTunes, hey, you're cool. So write us a review, please.
Twitter, too.
Oh, yeah, Twitter. You can tweet us.
Tweet us.
I'm at Izzy Lawrence, ISZI_LAWRENCE. And Simon is at Sidon. SIGHDONE, and about 3 people follow him.
Tweetus is a really rubbish rock band.
Yeah.
Tweetus. That's a Wheatus joke.
It sounds like a Douglas Adams character who gets shot.
And as the podcast rambles slowly to a debacle of an ending, cheerio. Yay.
Yes. Have a good week, everybody. Enjoy 2011. It's all right, isn't it? It's quite spacious so far.
Our theme tune is Got Carter by George Wood and is used with kind permission.